WLR's My Farming Week, a Desha Today special on some of Ireland's best farms.
Thanks to Acre Agri-Finance. Agri-credit for rural enterprises from Corda, Tallow, Lismore and Capoquin credit unions.
Well, this morning, Damien, we're out here in Eglinish on the Fitzgerald Farm. They're part of the Signpost Programme from Teagasc and indeed Glanbia, showing best practice on a working dairy family farm. We're delighted to be joined by the man himself, Stephen Fitzgerald, and his dad, Richie, and his mum, Noreen. First of all, thanks for having us out here, Stephen.
No bother, Kieran, welcome out.
You might tell our listeners about your setup here and the whole Signpost Programme.
So we're a spring-based dairy beef farm, so our main business is selling milk. Secondary then, we rear all our calves through to beef, but like I said, our main business is milking cows. So currently we're milking about 170 cows on a fairly grass-based simple system.
Now, of course, the Signpost Programme, Moor Park, developed all this new technology, particularly with sustainability, biodiversity and climate action. You're very much bringing that to an actual working family farm to show people in the Waterford area how best practice can be done on a working family farm day to day.
Yeah, we just joined the Signpost Programme and the Monitor Farm Programme just to get involved in all these things and see it. And all these technologies, as they call them, are brought to us, and we're doing them, like the simple things like just trail and shoe and planting mixed species, multi-species and clover and protected urea. And like we're using them a few years and we find them very good, and they're not affecting us profit-wise, and we're growing semi grass, and it's improving the farm, so we're happy to try all these things.
Now, of course, your own background, born on a dairy farm, did you always want to get involved in farming, or was it a late vocation?
No, always. I know, unfortunately or unfortunately, but yeah, always, since I was in school, it was always the plan to milk cows or come home farming and things like that. So done after secondary school, went to Kildalton for a year and went to New Zealand for a while, came back then and done a farm management course in Clonakilty and started working in Teagasc and Moor Park then for 8 or 9 years.
That has been a great experience. First of all, the Kildalton College, I think, is a fantastic, and we're so fortunate to have it down here. I think it's a very practical ag college. But the experience in New Zealand, before we talk about Moor Park.
Yeah, it was an eye-opener. I went when I was 18, going 19 for a year, not knowing. It was just kind of just to try something different and see, because the scale somewhere else, like, you know, it isn't just going to the next parish. Like, it was an eye-opener just see how things are done on the other side of the world, but similar to what we were doing here too. Like,
what struck you most about the comparison between New Zealand and Ireland at that time? I know things have changed a lot here for the better, thankfully, but at that time
there was a lot of good things, but one thing I wasn't gone on, like, they barely knew their neighbours. I felt they were gone too big. It was too scale. Yes. Farmers moving farms and things like that. Like, there was no loyalty to an area and things like that. When you come back here, everybody knows their neighbours and they check in on each other, and, you know, it's a different lifestyle.
Grassland management and, of course, husbandry and animal welfare. Some people have told me they have come back from New Zealand, they were amazed the way that they treated around, particularly their calves, and about the size and scale. But grassland management was a key. But did you find that big difference?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, I'd say it's just a scale thing. Lot more animals, lot more people working in the farm, lot more turnover of staff and things like that. And here, like, farms are smaller and people nearly know all their cows individually.
Do you feel that family farm has that big benefit?
Oh, huge, completely different, yeah. Different field would all get. Like, it's not that they're doing anything wrong, but it's a different way of farming compared to what we have around here.
Of course, grassland management, they were the pioneers, and people are always quoted about the New Zealanders back in the 70s and 80s. I feel now, and probably you can agree or disagree, I think the standard here in Ireland is we've actually surpassed what they can do in New Zealand as regards good grassland management for a dairy farm.
Yeah, definitely. Farmers had to buy into it here because margins were so tight. You had to make sure what you were doing inside your own gate was going as well as you possibly could. So any way you can improve what you have, the better. And fellas really bought into it and are pushing it out, you know.
So you went to Moor Park there. Of course, anyone not familiar with Moor Park, outside Fermoy, it's the Teagasc Centre of Excellence for all technology and indeed all research. So that was a fantastic achievement for our experience for you.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I was probably too young to come home full time, and I wanted to see other things and get a bit more experience and things like that. Like, so I was early 20s or whatever, and it was mid 50s. So I'd say we might have got on. Yes.
And Moor Park, the experience there must have been like you were seeing best practice.
Yeah,
at first
it was brilliant. It's a brilliant place to work. So was introduced to people starting new things and everything like that. And then when I came home, I wasn't afraid to try the things because I seen it working.
Richie, just turning to you, Richie, Stephen's dad. Stephen coming home, obviously you took over from your dad and you were always born on the farm here, and literally born here in Greig in Eglish and working all your life here.
Yeah, that's right, Kieran. I was never anywhere else and I never did anything else. Yes. When you started coming around here yourself first, what, 1970s? It's a big change since then, like, you know, the branch network was going strong, the Glenbia. There was...
Waterford Co-op at the time.
Waterford Co-op, yeah, Waterford Foods, whatever it was. Yeah. But there was twice more farmers, like, there's an awful lot of them giving up and gone now at this stage, you know.
So when you were going... Changed. Yeah, the whole thing has changed. When you were going, because your dad in the past had been bringing churns to Eglish Creamery, you were there with the arrival of the bull tank, which was huge at the time, and indeed bull feed.
The first time the bull tank came here, the first thing.
Yeah.
Tom Butler. Yeah. Driving the chances, big, big change to time, you know, and a lot of people wouldn't go into it and they said, no, no, that's a bad job not to go that way. But like, things moved on. And
Stephen coming on board then, were you delighted or obviously you, to encourage him to go on to it? As he said himself, I think he always had a love of the farm and farming.
Yeah, there was never any question about it, you know, it was the obvious thing to do. Like, to be an awful lot of us, like, if he wasn't interested in it, you know, one problem, but you know, to be honest, most the other way, you know.
So Stephen coming back to the farm, obviously you'd like to have him on board. Obviously it isn't always easy. You have a young man coming with all the expertise from college, from Ag College. He was in Kildalton, Clonakilty, New Zealand, Moor Park. How difficult was that that period for you? Transition period.
No, but anyway, get on with me, like. Yes. I know it was great, you know, like he had a lot of experience in that, you know. And it was only case of giving me his head and that mattered, you know.
And at that stage, when did you decide then about the partnership? Or was that further down, down the track?
I don't know how that came up. We gave about 3 years in a farm partnership.
Yes.
And that worked out fine. Then we signed over.
Yes.
So that's about 2 years. I suppose I signed over now about 2 years.
Yes.
So, like, no problem whatsoever. Like, you know, I couldn't see. You know, you got plenty of people to tell you, like, you know, it's the wrong thing to do and you should hold on and not to do it. But I could see no other way. We're only counting down the time to do it, you know.
If your father came back now and saw ye now with 150 cows up from 50 in that time, and even 50 at the time was considered a large herd back in the 70s, and indeed the grassland management, what would you think his reaction would be?
He'd probably say, what the fuck do you want all the cows for? Now, it's 40 cows at the time. We had 40 once all life, maybe less even. Yes. And we have all family life in a quota situation, so you know the choice, and you were happy with it and it worked fine.
Yeah.
But like, you wouldn't do it now, like.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to expand a bit. The only way you survive the time was to get a bit bigger. But we gave years and years stuck in a quota situation, you know. And walked through it with cattle and...
Yeah. I was just saying the mixed farming aspect of it at that time. And that was the way across most farms.
Yeah, yeah. Most farms had cattle at the time as well as cows, you know. It was a normal thing to rear the calves, you know. There was very few farmers that was exclusively in dairying.
So the mixed farming, really, it was on most farms a bit of everything.
Yeah, a bit of tillage, a bit of barley, beet, cattle, whatever. It was rearing calves and the milk, but the milk was still the mainstay of it, you know. It was always the best, like, there was no question about that. Like, no matter how bad milk was, it was still better than everything else, I'd say, you know.
And the biggest change you've seen in farming over the years, Richie?
Well, sure, the quotas was a massive thing. When the quotas went, it really took off, you know.
So when you were involved in the 70s and into the 80s, starting out as a young man, quotas really put a handbrake on the dairy industry.
Put a handbrake on it, yeah. Absolutely. Here especially, because we took on 40 acres of a mountain and we reclaimed it just before the quotas. And it was the quota was based in 83. Yes. And it just came into production in 85 or 86. So you had to go back to what you had. So we were snaffled at that in for years.
Yeah.
But like temporary leasing and bits and pieces here and there, you know, and people managed the way, and then, you know, you always thought to improve. But like, we got through it, and that, you know.
And of course, the standards now and the quality of milk coming off farms, just unbelievable where the standards have gone to, and the whole husbandry and need management of a dairy farm.
Yeah, when TBC came out first, like, there was uproar, you know, no one could pass it, you know.
And total bacteria count.
They gave a few years, like, they. Without any penalty, but they showed you what you'd get, you know, and what should be when this thing came in. Yeah. And people found
so it was kind of carrot and stick there. There was more than carrot.
Farmers thought, like, this can't be done, you know, it couldn't be done. But, like, nowadays, like, it isn't a problem at all. Yeah. Somatic cell counting came on board, you know.
And of course, the market was part and parcel of your week. I remember my longest memory of you is with your dad into the Monday market in Dungarvan.
Most of all the farmers went to the market in Dungarvan for Monday. It was more relaxed kind of a
story. It was a social occasion.
They go to Tommy Paul's in after, maybe drive home after that. You know,
that's before the white squads were out there.
Yeah. You know,
And do you miss that side of the farming? The social aspect and going to your local branch and whatever and meeting up with farmers?
Yeah, I suppose you would, but they have discussion groups now and that, you know. Yes. And like, you know, that time people just got a message and the farmers have a discussion group outside the chapel gate at the time.
Yeah.
You know, they'd all meet outside the wall and they'd discuss what had gone on the week before and, you know.
Of course, the crowds aren't going to the chapel either on Sunday.
No one's going to mess. So, like, things have changed completely, yeah, like, you know.
But you must be thrilled to see what has happened here. Stephen and his wife are here.
Yeah.
The young and your grandkids are here on the farm here in Greig in Eglish.
Yeah, it's absolutely great. So, worked out perfect so far, you know. And as you know, the start, like, you know, if they weren't here, it would be some different, you know, to be a different scenario then.
And of course, you're busy now ferrying, dropping kids to school creche and whatever.
Yeah, we're still involved. We have an arena over at the calves this year, like, and milk the cows and that time and a bit of tractor work and that, you know. But Stephen is running it and Catherine and the best of luck to him, you know.
That's great. And we'll have a quick word with Noreen before we finish. But as regards the calves, and then do you rear most of
it? We do, we rear all the calves all the time, but eventually the Frisian bulls won't be reared, you know. As a few more cows come on now and the parlour is done, the Frisian bulls will be the first thing to go, I'd say, you know. And we'll probably keep the Angus and the head office and that.
And do you find breed wise here that has changed over the years?
Yeah, of course it has. Yeah, like, definitely, you know. So, like, the time to most replacement heifers now and that, you know, it's a big number of them. Whereas one time, sure, 3 or 4 years of a lot.
Yeah. We're joined here by Noreen, of course, Stephen's mum and Richie's wife. Noreen, you were part and parcel of the farm over the years. The calves are very much your area of expertise.
Yes, I suppose, yeah. The baby calves.
Yes.
Once they're born, we get kind of feed.
And do you find you get attached to these calves, or do you find it a labour of love, or is it a real chore?
No, you do get attached to them. Like, you watch them growing up, and then when Rich takes over and brings them over to the outer place to wean them off and all that, that's his job then, and I just...
And we always... are you from a farming background, or was this all new to you?
Yeah, no, I'm from a farming background back in Knockanore, so...
And what family in Knockanore do I tell some of our listeners?
Yeah.
The O'Leary's in Knockanore,
Margaret and Arthur.
Yes, And as regards the grandkids coming on board, are you starting to get them involved, the little boys here around us?
Mad for it, they're always looking for a job to do.
And you like Rich, must be delighted to see Stephen and Katrina and your grandkids working here from the home in Greig.
Yeah, it is a godsend.
Yeah,
it is ideal.
Yeah. So for you, Stephen, having your dad, your mum, and indeed your own three boys around here, and indeed Katrina, very much a team effort here on the Fitzgerald farm.
Yeah, definitely. And like, you'd think you'd manage, but you wouldn't, like, as there's always something to be done. There's always a job to be done, and you wouldn't do.
Right.
And it's the company as well, like, you know, to know if you have a problem, if you have a question, you have someone to bounce off, either Katrina or Dave or me, anyone. Yeah. Like, they'll...
And the calf rearing, you can't beat the woman's touch. Katrina and Noreen, up that section.
No, like, for them busy 2 or 3 weeks at the start, May comes out and she just does a super job with them, you know.
As regards the calving this year, and obviously as a signpost farmer where you're doing best practice, how compact can you have your calving? How compact had you the calving?
Like, we try and have a kind of 9-week calving season. Like, it's extremely busy, but all the calves then are the same age. All everything's done. You know, you have your busy time and you just put your head down and get on with it, like, you know. And it's I find it easier to manage, like, you know.
We mentioned you being a signpost farm, and obviously because of COVID there wasn't any open days on your farm, and that's part and parcel of the Chagas Lambia signpost farm, where guys get a chance to see firsthand. I suppose coming to the end of this year, early next year, you'll be having a big open day here.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they're organising it. Richard O'Brien and our new Sandra Hayes is looking after us now, and I think there's one towards the end of the year. Yeah.
What do you find best of being a signpost farmer that you're put out there, or does it put extra pressure, or does it help you having someone to bounce ideas off and to literally be a partner during this period?
It's good and bad, because as always, you know, you have extra people at the end of the phone, and if you try something, like, you know, but like at the end of the day, like, if you try something that backfires, it'll affect us in the pocket. But it's good to know that there's other people trying it as well, and it'll be good for other people to see it. Well, if it backfired out there, if it worked out there, so I'll have a try of it too, you know.
Now, of course, you're also part of the very successful West Wofford Festival of Food. Part of that were these bus bees, and of course a sustainability bus, one of which stopped out here on the farm. How did that trip go, and what was the reaction from the people who were on the trip?
I thought it was excellent. I was nervous at the start because you don't know who's coming, especially from non-farming background, but when they came in, they were astounded the work and effort that goes in to produce, and meat and milk and things like that, and the things farmers are doing to produce high quality food, like, you know.
And we take them by it as such, because even though there are only a lot of them were town dwellers or people from the urban sector, they weren't coming down from the centre of Dublin or the centre of London.
Yeah, like it's strange because like Ireland seems to be fairly rural, like, you know, and like you're close to, like, drive 10 miles and you'll see a dairy. No matter where in the country, you'll bump into a herd of cows, and people, the simple things, didn't seem to get the simple things, you know. And it's good to show people what we actually do and the effort we put into producing food. Like,
your dad mentioned about the whole partnership set up and then handing over the farm. That really worked for you here on this farm?
It definitely did, because it kind of got me a feel into it, and dad didn't just jump out of it. Like, we eased in and eased out, kind of, as you could say. And like, it just made it easier for both of us, yeah.
As regards the sustainability and a lot of negativity for dairy farming, the expansion, you had 150 cows. Are you maxed out now as such? Are you keeping it around this, roughly around this figure, and are you able to farm within the acreage you have here?
Yeah, and we'll probably increase another small bit, but we'll see how it goes. It depends on labour and lifestyle and things like that. Like, we're building a pair at the moment to make things as easy as we can. Like, there's no point going mental milking a heap of cows and trying to spend as much time with three small lads as we can and have a bit of a life as well, you know.
And the parlour, of course, no one better than Willem and Richie Scanlon.
Good plug. But looking forward to having it done, because there's a lot of work going into what we're doing at the moment and things like that.
As regards the sustainability area, you mentioned earlier and you rattled off all the various aspects that you've been involved in. You might just go into a little bit more detail as regards the biodiversity and about tree planting and hedge planting. What actually have you done here on the farm?
We started doing it before we joined the program, even, because up top of the farm we're fairly open and exposed. So we started planting hedges and trees the last few years. So we've nearly a kilometre of hedge and whitethorn hedge and planted 150 trees, and we're just trying to do a small bit, you know.
Nice. And has it helped, do you think?
Yeah, it definitely has. It's helping the appearance of the farm, and it helps everything else. Like, you know, there's more than just birds and bees or whatever, but like it'll help the farm as well. Like.
And I noticed driving around here and driving around the county, people are probably complaining the way the hedges and trees have come out. But driving up from the main road up here to your farm, it's fantastic, really, the foliage that's there. I know it might be dangerous if you meet a Glanbia milk truck coming down against you, but that really has become part and parcel of modern Ireland.
Yeah, it is, and farmers are becoming a lot more aware of what has to be done and what is being done. Yeah. You know, it's just a part and parcel of it now.
Well, Stephen, you were selected by Teagasc and indeed Glanbia as a signpost farmer. I can see why. You're a great ambassador for the industry. I look forward to the big open day when it'll be held here on the Fitzgerald farm in Greig and Eglish. Stephen Fitzgerald, your dad Richie, of course, your mum Noreen and your wife Katrina and the three boys, we better give them all a mention.
Edon, Dunne and Olin, yeah, they're
three new boys for the Geraldines.
Hopefully, yeah.
Listen, Stephen, thanks a million. Best of luck in the future.
No bother. Thanks very much, Kieran.
My Farming Week, a Dacia Today special on WLR.
Thanks to Acre Agri-Finance. Agri-credit for rural enterprises from Corda, Tallow, Lismore and Capoquin credit unions.